What's the vibe in Phoenix after the drumming last night to go up 2-0 on our Denver Nuggets here? To discuss it further, it's Dave Burns of Burns and Gambo on 98.7 Arizona Sports in Phoenix, our sister station down there. Those guys do a great job. And Dave Burns is with us on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Dave, I know you guys picked the Suns. In fact, I believe you picked them in five, if I'm not mistaken. But did you think it was going to be quite like this, what we're seeing?
No, I didn't think it was going to be quite like this. And I as soon as I said Suns in five, I was immediately, like, overwhelmed with this really uncomfortable, like, oh, I don't know if I should have gone that far kind of feeling. Like, I thought it, I felt it, and then I thought maybe it was too much. And then after these first couple of games, I'm very comfortable in Suns in five. But no, I didn't think it was going to be like this. I really thought yesterday's game was going to be one that came down to the final minute or two. I know my co-host Gambo was sort of expecting something closer to what we saw last night in terms of the scoreboard. But I really thought Denver was going to come out with a much more kind of focused effort in terms of trying to get to the line, trying to play a more physical brand of basketball. The shots didn't go their way, establishing Jokic a little more. And boy, that thing just got sideways in a big hurry. Denver got off to such a slow start shooting the basketball. And the Suns didn't play a great half offensively in the first half. And then in the second, Monty made adjustments. Chris Paul kind of took over. They attacked Michael Porter Jr. every chance they got. And that was it, ball game. So, no, I didn't expect the margin of victory was going to be as large as it's been in these two games, no doubt.
Are there any weaknesses with the Suns? I mean, I didn't watch them a lot this year, obviously. But for a guy that has watched them night in and night out, are there any weaknesses with this basketball team? Because over the last two games, I haven't seen not a one.
Yeah, there are a few. We haven't seen them yet. And I don't know if we're going to see them this series or if it's going to pop up in the next. Weakness number one is the big man depth behind DeAndre Ayton. Now, that to me is what made last night so extraordinary, is he gets those two quick fouls, and I'm thinking, okay, this is a hinge point in the series. This is where it's going to turn a little bit, because now Dario Saric has to come in, and he's going to be the primary defender against Jokic. And it went amazingly well for the Suns. We were all very surprised at how Saric kind of held his own once they got away from the double teams and Jokic was kind of carving them up. But that, to me, is weakness number one. If Ayton gets in any kind of foul trouble and they really have to lean on that depth, it worked out well last night. I don't know if it's going to work out long-term for them. That's number one. Number two, Jay Crowder is the streakiest three-point shooter I've seen in years on the Suns roster. And he's in a real high swing right now. The low is coming. And we rode this wave with the Lakers series, got off to a terrible start. He finished very strong. He's on a high right now, and I'm just kind of waiting for the crash to come at some point, whether it's this series or the next. They're a little turnover prone. Devin Booker in particular sometimes gets a little careless with the basketball, sometimes plays a little too much ISO basketball, but for the most part plays within the system. Those are kind of the three. And outside of Booker's turnovers in the first half of game one, we really haven't seen those weaknesses too much out of the Suns in this series.
Dave Burns of Burns and Gambo on 98.7 Arizona Sports in Phoenix joins us on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Dave, this is a unique year where there is no dynasty. There is no juggernaut awaiting. And that's why, from a Nuggets perspective, we are just, as a town, as a basketball community here in Colorado, just so deflated, because it felt like the Nuggets had a legitimate shot to win a championship. The Nuggets have never even played in the NBA Finals the way that, you know, even your 1993 team did. So it felt like that. And then, you know, he gets hurt, and he's just such a major part of, you know, who the Nuggets are. But now it shifts to, like, okay, who's going to fill this void? Are you guys talking about championship down there in the Valley?
We're thinking about it. I don't know if we're talking about it, but we're thinking about it. I'm not going to lie to you, especially after last night, the conversation just got a little bit, more people are starting to wonder whether this could be the year, for exactly the same reason that you said. We had a conversation on our show yesterday about whether this was Chris Paul's best shot at winning a championship. And kind of the conclusion was that Rockets team he was on a couple of years ago was actually probably his best shot. But for the reason that you just said just now, I mean, the Suns have had just about everything has broken their way in terms of good fortune, health, seeding, the field, the way it stands right now with nobody in the West who has won a championship. It does have this kind of wide open, why not the Suns feel. I will tell you, we've had a couple conversations about wondering if you get to the finals and it's the Nets waiting for you and how strange it would be to see Steve Nash over there,
right,
and Mike D'Antoni over there,
right,
and Amari Stoudemire over there, right? Because he's one of the assistants. And so how, and just how of a juggernaut that team feels like they are right now. But that's, you know, trying not to think about that too much, but also understanding that this team, the only thing that was holding them back, guys, was that lack of experience, and that really doesn't seem to be a problem right now for the Phoenix Suns.
No, it really doesn't. Dave, talk about what Chris Paul has meant to this team this year. You know, they got hot last year in the bubble. I don't think they lost a game, and they've continued that momentum over, but with the addition of Chris Paul and Crowder, talk about the addition of Chris Paul and what he's meant to this team.
It's meant everything. If Chris Paul's not here, I still think the Suns are a very good basketball team. They're not the number two seed in the West. They probably end up at number six and seven. They were getting good. But with Chris Paul, now you get instant buy-in from DeAndre Ayton in terms of Paul telling him what to do, barking at him what to do at times over the course of the season. You get instant buy-in from Devin Booker. We had the Suns owner on our show about a month ago, and he said when the Paul conversations first started, he called Book and said, "What do you think?" And Book said, "Man, I'm all about winning. I'm all for it." And Robert Sarver had even said to him, "Hey, this might mean he takes some attention away from you. He takes some looks away from you." And Book's like, "I don't care. I just want to win basketball games." He got here to an environment, a bunch of young basketball players who were looking for that guy to lead them to a higher level, to show them how it should be done. And Chris Paul, I mean, I'm sure you guys are aware, I mean, his history in the NBA, he's rough on guys.
He's,
you know, he's hard. And after a while, you know, he can kind of wear out his welcome.
Yep.
For now, so far, and I'm not even suggesting that's even close to happening here, he has found an organization that is thirsty for a guy like him to come in here and lead, be a jerk if that's what it takes, be a hardcore leader and get in guys' faces. This organization is just, man, they've just eaten it up. And he's meant everything to them. He and Monty have meant everything to them.
Yeah, and Monty Williams got flat-out robbed, if you ask me, for Coach of the Year. I'm not going to go on a diatribe about it, but he got robbed. Last question from me. How long have you been down there in Phoenix, Dave?
I'm a native. I was actually born and raised in Arizona. So I'll tell you right now, guys, if I'm being honest about it, the Phoenix Suns are my first love.
Okay. I'm glad you said that, because really the question I wanted to ask you, in my life, there's like two eras of Phoenix Suns basketball. There's that team in the early 90s that was like Charles Barkley, Cedric Ceballos, Tom Chambers, Danny Ainge, Kevin Johnson, Dan Majerle, that went to the finals and lost to Jordan. And then there's that team in the mid-2000s that was, you know, Steve Nash, Sean Marion, The Matrix, Kurt Thomas, Rajah Bell, Leandro Barbosa. They were a fun team. Where does this team stack up in terms of popularity? Because I'm watching that full arena, and it looks like that town has re-fallen in love with the game of basketball.
There's no doubt that the love affair has been renewed, and there's no doubt that for the last 11 years, the Suns have been hibernating, and its fans have been hibernating along with it. I mean, this town has been asleep for the last 11 years when it comes to the Suns. They've just been so wretched. But it's everybody's awake again. And it's, you know, we kind of thought maybe 5 or 6 years ago that we had become a Cardinals town. And this is nothing against the Cardinals at all, because we've enjoyed their runs and we're looking forward to Kyler Murray. But man, the Phoenix Suns have reclaimed the city as theirs.
Wow.
It belongs to them. It's just obvious that nothing quite brings us together like them. And they've because it's not, and I understand from the perspective of the Barkley years and the Nash years, also understand that up until about 3 or 4 years ago, the Phoenix Suns had like the fifth or sixth best winning percentage in the history of the NBA ever. They've always been good for the most part. And the fact that, too, they were the first. They were the first professional sports franchise we had here in town. So
right.
Their roots
right.
run the deepest more than anybody else. I would imagine it's something similar to what you guys have up there with the Broncos. It's just at our core, we are Suns fans down here. And I think now that they've woken up, the town has woken up, the city has woken up with them, and you're just starting to see that love affair bloom again, really.
Well, Dave, you know, obviously I'm hoping the Nuggets come back and win this series, certainly rooting for these guys. But in another compartment, a small compartment, I am happy for you guys and that town as a basketball guy, seeing that love affair get rekindled. So good for you guys. Enjoy the series. Dave, we appreciate you coming on with us here in Denver.
Gents, we appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you got it. There he goes. Dave Burns of Burns and Gambo. They do the PM drive time there on 98.7 Arizona Sports in Phoenix. We're owned by the same company. Those guys do a great job down there.